I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll, and you are listening to Beyond the Headlines from Reno Public Radio. Today on Health Watch, we will be talking about wilderness medicine with Dr. David Fiore, who is a professor of family medicine at the University of Nevada School of Medicine and a physician at the university's Patient-Centered Family Medicine Clinic. Welcome, Dr. Fiore.
Thanks for having me here, Rochelle.
Dr. Fiore, in addition to your family practice, you are active in and teach wilderness medicine. Can you first tell us what is wilderness medicine?
Sure, that's a great question. I actually give a whole lecture on what is wilderness medicine. And really what it is medicine in the wilderness, simply enough. If you get hurt, you get sick, something happens to you, and you're not near a hospital, a doctor's office, any kind of medical facility, then you really need what we call wilderness medicine.
What do you mean by wilderness?
Great question, Rochelle. Wilderness is different things for different people. I think for me, being in the heart of a huge city, sometimes that feels like a wilderness. But for most of the purposes what we're talking about, we really mean out in a rural area where you're more than half a day from assistance. You might be out on a series of back roads in the middle of Nevada. You can be hiking up in the Sierras. That's all wilderness. Going for a hike outside of Tahoe for a couple hours, that's a great thing to do, but that's not really wilderness.
So how did you get interested in this? Tell us a little bit more about what it involves.
Well, like most people who practice or study wilderness medicine, I really got interested in it because it melds two passions of mine, being out in the wilderness, playing, out kayaking, skiing, backpacking, and medicine. So I did a lot of trips in the Sierras, in the Cascades, and was fortunate to meet some people who really started the Wilderness Medical Society. And through that, I just spent more time getting involved in it and going on various trips. As a physician, whether you've studied wilderness medicine or not, people are going to look at you and ask you, hey, can you help me if something goes wrong?
Is it just for physicians, or are other kind of healthcare providers involved in this as well?
All kinds of healthcare providers. There is a wilderness EMT course you can take and get certified in. Nurses, physical therapists, all kinds of medical providers can be involved in wilderness medicine.
Can you describe some examples of where you were able to practice wilderness medicine?
I guess the answer to that is unfortunately yes. Wilderness medicine is one of those things that you really don't want to ever have to use. But if you're out in the backcountry or the wilderness enough, you're probably going to have an opportunity. One of the chances or opportunities I had to be involved in wilderness medicine came on a river trip on the Green River, which is in Utah. And we were on a 53-mile stretch through a wilderness. Started out a beautiful day when we put on, weather deteriorated over the next couple of days, and an unfortunate young male, about 13 years old, had some belly pain. Well, I got a little concerned about him, ended up thinking he probably had appendicitis, and unfortunately, a blizzard came in that night. So we were faced with decisions on how to stabilize him, how to evacuate him in light of a storm, in light of the fact that we were deep down in a canyon, and even if we could have hiked out of the canyon, we were miles and miles from anywhere. So that's kind of the ultimate type of thing that you get approached with in wilderness medicine.
So if we're out hiking and get hurt, would we expect to be treated by a wilderness medicine provider?
Not unless you were hiking with a wilderness medicine provider. Again, wilderness medicine is one of those things that most of us do because we love it. We're out a lot. Again, I've been on river trips, I've been hiking, backcountry skiing, where if somebody gets hurt, they just assume that I'm going to be prepared. So that's often the motivation, is I'm going to need these skills to treat myself or my friends or my colleagues on a trip. If you're just out there and you get hurt, you're really on your own. And the best tool you probably have is a cell phone that can get reception.
And you're listening to Health Watch on Beyond the Headlines. I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll discussing wilderness medicine with Dr. David Fiore. What are some of the special training and skills that a person obtains in order to feel like they're qualified to be out there and be designated as a wilderness medicine provider?
Great question. So I think a broad scope of medical skills is really useful. I'm a family physician, which I think really prepares me for this. I think emergency room physicians are another group that gravitate towards wilderness medicine and have the skills. And then being able to take what you've learned and practice in your office or in the ER, and being able to improvise, being able to maybe not have everything you need, but figure out what you can get by with, what you can make, what you can use for different tools. They actually use wilderness medicine experts with NASA because of the adaptability. Not surprisingly, the military is also another area where they look at wilderness medicine.
So do people make a career out of wilderness medicine?
I think a lot of us wish we could make a career out of it because we love it so much. But honestly, no, very few people can make a career out of wilderness medicine because the model is I'm out there in the wilderness and you get hurt or injured and you need me to help you. It's very difficult, maybe unethical, to bill people for that when you're out there. There are a few people who have done this for so long, written books about it, that they may get hired to go on expeditions to the Himalaya, the Andes, Antarctica, but that is quite uncommon. So again, most of us do this because we love it, because it's skills that we might need someday when we're hurt or that our friends that we're climbing with, hiking with, rafting with, whatever, they might need.
Should we consult a wilderness or travel physician prior to taking a long adventurous trip?
I think that's a great idea. And you brought together two distinct specialties, if you will, that often overlap. Since so much wilderness medicine is done outside of the U.S., or so much wilderness adventure is done outside of the U.S., many people who spend a lot of time with wilderness medicine combine that with travel medicine. And in my experience, people will come to my office asking for advice before they go to Africa or some big climb. Unfortunately, they often do that a week or two before they leave. What I'd like to encourage your listeners is if you are planning a trip or even just considering a trip somewhere exotic, someplace remote, it's really helpful to speak to a travel and or wilderness medicine physician or other provider months in advance. Often there's vaccinations that need to be taken care of. There may be medical conditions that we want to optimize, medications we want to change. So coming to see someone like myself or another wilderness or travel expert can really be helpful if you do it months in advance.
So as you mentioned, there are not wilderness medicine providers hiking along the trails. How can people be more prepared?
Well, I'd say if somebody does a lot of outdoor activity, especially wilderness activities, and they're interested in being ready to take care of some medical emergencies or urgencies, a wilderness EMT course is a great idea. It really gives you a real grounding and foundation on how to take care of some of the more common and serious problems you can encounter in the wilderness.
What would you recommend that people who are out in the wilderness absolutely take with them?
Another great question, Rochelle. I think it's really important, obviously, that people carry perhaps what the Boy Scouts call the 10 essentials, things like water, flashlight, rain gear if there's potential for rain. But from a medical point of view, what's really important is first off, know your own health. If there are medicines that you're supposed to be on, don't assume you're going to be back in time to take them. Be prepared to spend the night out. So you want to take your own medications, things to take care of common problems like blisters and cuts, so Band-Aids, moleskin is one of my favorites. Of course, duct tape is useful for a million things. And then thinking, if you're going to be out for multiple days, you have to start preparing a bigger first aid kit with real medicines. And that's where consultation with a physician or a provider that understands wilderness medicine can be really helpful.
Finally, what happened to the young man that you told us about earlier?
Oh, great. I'm sorry I didn't follow up on that. Fortunately, he turned out to be fine. As I mentioned, we got caught in a blizzard, and we were very remote. We sent two kayakers down the river 53 miles to try and get help, which is a very long way to kayak in one day. They got there. The next morning, they tried to get some help out. There was some resistance, but when they told the Forest Service that this doctor there was considering surgery in the wilderness, that seemed to get people's attention. Of course, I was not considering surgery. They flew in a helicopter and took him to the nearest town of Grand Junction, or city of Grand Junction, where they did operate on him, and he did have appendicitis, and he recovered remarkably well.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fiore, for sharing your very interesting insights and knowledge about the practice of wilderness medicine.
You're quite welcome, Rochelle, and I hope to see you out in the wilderness, but not needing any of my services.
Thank you. Dr. David Fiore is a professor of family medicine and physician at the Patient-Centered Family Medicine Clinic at the University of Nevada School of Medicine.